Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's going to rain tonight. You heard Peyton Malone say that overnight, so make sure you... I said he's not said anything about neutral ground parking, but I would presume at some point they'll issue a text saying you'll be able to park because the rain's supposed to happen overnight, and then the cold front comes through, and by Wednesday, it all clears out. Windy, cool, north wind, highs of 70, and then 65 for a high on Thursday, 67 on Friday, 69 on Saturday, so not quite cold, really, other than lows in the 40s, mid-40s to 50s, and then nice during the day. It was not nice during the day on Saturday in the swamp in Florida. Jeff Nowak. Jeff Palermo joins us now, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I got so mad. I was saying this earlier, and I had to take it back because a friend of mine played football for Tulane, and he said, wear the shirt with respect, and I do, but I got so mad. At LSU on Sunday morning, I bought a Tulane shirt at Rouse's. But, Melvin, in all fairness, this guy's an officer in Marine Corps and played at Tulane. He's right. I got to wear that shirt with pride because Tulane's having a great season, but that's neither here or there. You know, I was saying, Jeff, watching the game on Saturday, it just seemed to me that if you were to go back and look at the storylines from the beginning of the season to where we are now, one of the big disappointments or maybe mistakes was how good this offensive line was going to be for LSU, because I've not seen it, and it seems as though you got Garrett Nussmeier moving around a lot, and it also seems as though you have a lot of plays that take a long time to develop because they just can't line up and push anybody off the ball and run it straight forward. Thoughts on all that?
Oh, you're exactly right, Tommy. I mean, one of the great mysteries of this team has been the offensive line not living up to expectations going into the season, and it's been very disappointing. And what was a little weird about this game against Florida was that they actually had success running the football against Florida. And the thing that's been very good about LSU this year is making sure that Garrett Nussmeier has time to throw the football. This has been a good pass protection offensive line, and then that just all falls apart on Saturday. You're able to run the ball, but then you can't protect him, and he gets sacked seven times, and a lot of those sacks were just drive killers. It just puts you too far behind the chains. And you're right about plays developing so long. The way this offense is designed, the receivers, the routes are long, and they're just missing offensively. You know, guys that have elite skills, right? I mean, obviously last year you saw it with Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. And, you know, and Aaron Anderson's had a really nice season. And Mason Taylor's a really good tight end. And every now and then you're going to get a big run out of Caden Durham. But you just don't have that guy that you can kind of throw the football to, you know, 7 or 8 yards, and he turns it into 30, 40, 50 yards. And this offense has really lacked that. And, you know, even though they only committed three penalties on Saturday, it always just seemed like that those three penalties came at the absolute worst time. One of them took a touchdown off the board. So it was another bad performance by this LSU team.
I don't think Caden Durham, look, we don't know, but I just if you look at the speed that he had and since he hurt his toes, I don't think Caden Durham's 100% healthy. Do you?
He probably is not, but again, I really thought the run game, you know, certainly gave him a chance. They had a little bit more balance in this game. Josh Williams had a couple of good carries as well, so they had a chance. There's no doubt when you go back to that South Carolina game and Kaden Durham was barely used, and he comes in there with the fresh legs, and he gave a spark to LSU offensively in that game. And you know, LSU, he had a long run against Alabama, but you can't necessarily expect a running back to you know, break off 40-50 yard runs every single game. I thought he had a good game. I think the future is certainly bright with him and some of the other running backs that are coming into the program, and Harlan Berry and JT Lindsey. But, you know, it's just that there's a lot more wrong with this team than, Kaden Durham, that's for sure.
And I'm not, look, dump it on him or anything or put any blame on him. Yeah. I'm just saying that I think when it comes to turning a corner, when it comes to that just split second of difference, I don't think it's there with him since he got hurt. I don't know why, and let me take a break, Jeff. I didn't realize the clock. When we come back, we'll talk about Brian Kelly getting involved in a play calling. It seems like, you know, I don't know if they're filling Garrett Nussmeier's head with too much stuff. I don't know if they don't give him time to do what he needs to do, but it just seems like there's no momentum when it comes to the LSU offense at all. Like, they just can't get anything going, and it's like one step forward, two steps back. Do you get that sense or not?
Yeah, certainly.
All right, we'll pick it up there. We come back. Jeff Palermo, our guest, WWL.com columnist. No oomph, man. No momentum. It's like they can't get going. 7:21 traffic now, WWL.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:26, Tommy Target, WWL, 4th-and-1. You go for it midfield. Do you run straight? You got the best offensive line in the country, one of the better offensive lines in the country, right? What do you do? Line up, just push them back at the yard? No, you run east to north, south, whatever the hell it is. I get my directions confused. Yeah, and a long developing play, and you don't pick it up. Sets a tone for the game. Jeff, you know, you got, who is it? I think Kyron Lacy yelling at Brian Kelly on the sidelines.
Yeah,
is this thing getting ready to come unglued or what?
Or has it certainly seems like there's a lot of red flags here. A lot of red flags. You have two senior starters who are suspended for the first quarter, or withheld from play in the first quarter, if you would, as Les Miles would say, because they're not living up to the standards of the program. Deshaun Womack, a promising pass rusher in your program, he doesn't even make the trip because of disciplinary issues. You got Kyron Lacy, as you saw, screaming at Brian Kelly as he was coming off the field. And, you know, football is an emotional game, but I don't think it's good when, on the college level, you got wide receivers screaming at coaches. I just think there's a lot of bad signs here. Whit Weeks telling the media on that 55-yard touchdown run that half the guys thought the play was the play was supposed to be this, and the other guys were running another play. Why is that still happening
at this point?
On week 10 of the season?
Yeah, exactly.
At week 10 of the season, you know, Brian Kelly obviously getting more involved in the play calling. He's recognizing something's not right. It doesn't have a very good feel at this point. To see this team the way they have played in the last 10 quarters, it isn't just they've run into a bad rut and they're going to get out of it. Something is fundamentally wrong. Something is wrong at the base of this team. There are problems with inside that football operations building that certainly need to be sorted out.
So when it comes to Bryce Underwood, does any of this have anything to do with that? And factor in that you know, they're offering him $10 million to stay in Michigan, not $10 million. I think it's over 4 years or something like that, $2.5 million a year or something like that.
Well, those that follow recruiting much closer than I do still feel like Bryce Underwood is nearly a sure thing to sign with LSU next month. But, again, what you're seeing here is not a very good sign with this LSU football program. And if Bryce Underwood is seeing some of these things and wondering, wait a minute, you know, is this really the place I want to go to a program that could be a sinking ship, that's, you know, I mean, certainly he could potentially reconsider. I don't know if he will, but it's what we've seen here. And really the last 2 weeks are going to be big, I think, because of that. I think you need to try to figure out how to salvage this season somehow. And the best way to do it is go out there and win these final three games. And Brian Kelly talked about it at the end of the game on Saturday, is that he's going to be looking for guys that are willing to want to try to fix this thing. But, you know, at this point of the year, you got a lot of guys, especially those that are, you know, draft eligible, or those guys thinking about NIL and this and all that kind of stuff, start thinking more about themselves than the team. And that's a battle that Brian Kelly has to deal with here over the final three games of the year.
You know, it's so frustrating, LSU having had so much problems with running quarterbacks. DJ Lagway had a hard time handing a ball off, it looked like. He was so hampered by his hamstring. So you can only imagine if. Anyway. All right, Jeff, thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Tommy, have a good one.
God bless us all. Say our prayers. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com, columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. We'll talk to Pearson Cross, when we come back, professor of political science at ULM, about the special session and the politics involved. Right now, time for WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8. Rain overnight tonight. The city's not said anything about parking on neutral grounds, but I would think at some point they're going to send out a text allowing it. Hopefully they'll do that before it rains, because the heaviest of the rain is expected overnight and a cold front comes through. We've been talking about the special session, but we've talked about a whole lot of different components of it, not so much the politics. We're going to address that now with Pearson Cross, our friend, professor of political science at ULM. How are you, Pearson?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm okay, sir. Thanks for taking the time with us. I got a text yesterday from some people, and it showed me they were here in the committee yesterday, the film credits part of it about the in the Senate about the governor's tax plan, and a lot of red cards were filed. And for people that don't know the process, explain what that means, please, and what that could indicate.
Well, it just means that people have serious reservations about a particular legislation, and they want to have some input on it, so you're not getting a green light on it. Obviously, film credits are something that incite strong emotions on both sides of the aisle.
I just wanted to talk about, for people that don't know, the process in the legislature with the cards. You got to file a card if you want to testify against it. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, that's the way it works. So typically when a bill is coming up, and anybody can weigh in, I mean, the legislature has a transparency thing. So basically if you, in any area, frankly, so when the committee's meeting, if you want to file, if you want to go in and protest against something or offer your viewpoint or whatever, you would file a green or a red card. I believe the green cards are for proponents and the red cards are for those people who object to it. And then they schedule time, so everybody gets some time to, you know, a short amount of time to give their opinion.
So let's talk about the politics of the special session so far and your observations.
Well, what I find very interesting is that, as usual in Louisiana, everybody's for tax cuts. You know, we all love it when we're paying less money. Generally speaking, the parameters of the of the governor's tax proposals are accepted or liked by most people. But the problem, of course, then comes in how do you pay for it and what do you cut if you don't have that revenue? So what we're seeing is a green light on the cutting taxes side and some real bumps on the raising revenue side, which needs to accompany that, because income tax provides a huge amount of the state general fund. And without that, you can't run all these state enterprises, including higher education and health care.
When it comes to here's what I was concerned with, Pearson. The idea was to do away with all the special carve-outs, right? And to make it more sensible. But as soon as you try to do that, the people that are the beneficiaries of the special carve-outs, they're not going to like it. They're going to want to protect their turf. So then you might wind up with a different type of carve-out, but still something as convoluted as it was before. I don't know how you keep score of this. I've been trying to follow inventory tax, et cetera, et cetera. You understand what I'm saying? Because this is extremely complicated stuff. What are you saying?
House Bill 9, you know, by Neil Reiser, who's in my area, would expand the sales tax to 48 different services, you know, and all kinds of things like haircutting and lawn service and just about everything that you can think of. And so they're sweeping, you know, to cover this much revenue that's going to be missing, they're reaching out to really tons of services. But as of right now, 23 of the 48 items initially offered have been cut out of the bill. So what you see is in each of these areas, they have a very motivated pool of people who are basically saying, no, not in my area. You know, don't tax my area. This is going to hurt. And so you get legislators responding to their constituents saying, well, wait a minute, we can't do this to them and we can't do this to them. And so House Bill 9 is essentially dead in its current form.
Which means what as far as the special session goes?
Well, you know, the special sessions, you know, Landry may have to settle for half a loaf, you know. So if you end up not replacing the amount of income tax that you lose through the tightening of the rates, you know, current rates are 1.85, 3.5, and 4.25, depending on how much money you make. If you don't get all that money covered, then you end up having to get a smaller bite of the income tax thing. So you can't do the reform you wanted to do because you can't pay for it. And I don't think anybody wants to go back to the Jindal era where there were these huge slashes to state enterprises. I mean, everybody likes the idea of, oh, we're going to have a smaller government, but if it means you're going to shut down a big part of the government, that's when people start to cry out and go, wait a minute, we depend on those services.
Let me go. We'll take a break. And we'll come back. I want to go back to the beginning of this because it seems like the easiest thing in the world would be to just, I don't understand the politics of the sales tax thing. I really don't, because you remember they had a hell of a fight to get it to 0.045 after the penny rolled off. It was, I think, three sessions, was it? It was crazy. The three special sessions, whatever they had. I just don't understand the politics of why they just wouldn't have stuck with the penny and let it go. Who would be against it? But you can walk us through it. We come back. We're talking to our friend Pearson Cross, professor of political science at ULM. That, to me, seems to be the easiest solution to all of this and the most politically palatable, but apparently not. 7:51, 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:57, 3 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Somebody texted in and said, instead of trying to find additional revenue sources, why don't they just cut some of this stupid spending? Pearson Cross, WWL, I beg your pardon, professor of political science at ULM. I think sometimes people don't realize, and I'm not saying there's no government spending that can be cut, but inflation hits government spending just like everything else, right?
Absolutely, and dollars don't go as far. And, you know, if you look around your personal budget, you say, well, you know, I need more money every year just to stay in place, and it's the same thing for governmental enterprises.
So it seems to me, and I'm just a guy from the West Bank, right, but it seems to me that, you know, you had the penny sales tax. Instead of just letting it stay, then they had the big fight over it, and then they had three sessions, I think it was, to get it to 0.45 on each dollar. I don't get it, Pearson. It would seem to me the most the easiest, most practical, I don't know, thing to do would be to just have left it at a cent. Tell me about the politics of sales taxes.
Well, the politics is that sales tax is the tax that people like the most, generally speaking, because they think, well, it hits everybody. So it's a tax that the public broadly supports. But on the other hand, it's running up against, you know, people who are the real hardcore conservatives who are basically saying, no, we don't want taxes. Taxes support government. Government's too big. We want to cut taxes. So the Brett Guymans of the world and the Blake Magezes are saying, no, we need to cut this. So although it would be very simple for them to just say, oh, well, look, let's just raise Louisiana sales tax to 5% from where it is now at 4.45 and solve our problems. And then we can make all these changes that Governor Landry wants. You have a number of people on the other side going, no, no, no. In addition, you have all the good government people saying, wait a minute, sales tax taxes are regressive. They hit poor people harder than rich people. So we shouldn't do that.
If they had it to do all over again, do you think everybody would have just kept that penny on air?
You know, I think so. This is, we're an anti-tax state, you know, but that penny seemed to provide a lot. But of course, the argument against that is if you keep the penny on there, then government expands to spend it.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Thank you. I appreciate your time. Pearson Cross, as always, professor of political science at ULM. We come back, we'll talk to Greg Upton about LSU's Center for Energy Studies, the future of oil exploration in the United States.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.